afternoon at 4:10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, The Fan's own Skip Mossick.
And hi again, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan. Another busy week in the golf world. Final regular season events on the PGA Tour. We'll head to Greensboro shortly and check in with SI.com's Gary Van Sickle. Major championship golf returns to Columbus next year as Scioto Country Club will host the U.S. Senior Open. We'll visit with PGA professional Joe Filardo, director of golf at Scioto, to talk about that. And as always, we have another great golf prize package to give away. Details on that shortly. But we begin with you this week with former Buckeye, OSU Hall of Famer, and LPGA professional Kathy Gehring, part of a pair of Big Ten championship teams at Ohio State in the early 80s. And Kathy, let's start with what brought you to Ohio State here, and if you had any inklings of maybe going to play anywhere else out of high school.
You know, the one thing, I think proximity to Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is where I'm from, and, you know, my brother was on the tour and had played the Memorial, so I'd been over there prior to, you know, coming to Ohio State, and my dad was, you know, both of our teachers, so it was close to, you know, if I needed to get a tune-up or whatever. And honestly, I, for whatever reason, as a young kid, loved Woody Hayes and loved Archie Griffin and was an Ohio State fan from you know, as long as I can remember. So kind of a, you know, a dream come true for me.
Of course, your brother being former tour player Bill Kratzer. You know, Kathy, we've spoken to Steve Groves many times over the years. How instrumental was he to both you and your team's success?
Well, I mean, Steve, one of the things that's really important is recruiting. And, of course, Steve took over a team. I want to say I might have been his first recruit. And then I know Cheryl Stacy was just after me, but, you know, you're holding a team together that, you know, J.R. Abels had retired and Steve came in and, I was added to the team and, you know, we just had, a phenomenal team and a lot of talent. And it was, you know, that's always hard because you sometimes have more talent than you have space for when it comes to golf and any sport, but golf in particular, because there are only, you know, five slots available each week. But, you know, it was fun and, you know, it was a little bit hard probably for him to motivate, you know, because we were the class of the Big Ten and, you know, so we would, you know, make this goal of winning the Big Ten by 100 shots. And I think we accomplished it every time. But, you know, Ohio State had such a reputation with golf, and I don't think anybody will argue that over the, you know, years with, you know, Jack and the Cook, you know, John Cook and Joey Sindelar and, sure, and Rosie Jones and Meg Mallon and me being a very, very small part, but, you know, there's such tradition there, and I'm hoping to see our teams get, you know, back on track and winning Big Ten championships again and competing for national championships.
Don't sell yourself short, Kathy. Big Ten individual champion your last 2 years here. You also went into the OSU Athletics Hall of Fame in 1997. What did that honor mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. It was huge. You know, you look at again, growing up an Ohio State, you know, fan myself and, of course, Archie was a part of the athletic department at that time, and you know, Jim was at Muirfield, so I got the whole, you know, Ohio State experience with football and basketball. You know, basketball was big when I was, you know, that was a Kelvin Ramsey years.
Oh, yeah.
And Clark and Herb Williams, and so And of course, I'm a huge Bobby Knight fan, and he was a, you know, very close friend of my dad and brothers. And I can tell you that, you know, we had such a great relationship when I went to Ohio State. First of all, he gave me hell for doing it. because of course he was at IU, but when IU did come, I did feel bad because Coach Knight always insisted on giving me tickets to sit behind the IU bench, and of course that was right across from Mr. Hyman and, you know, the athletic department. But they understood, and, you know, but back to the Hall of Fame, it's just such a, you know, great honor, and it's, you know, going to be there and hopefully for, you know, a long time. And, you know, you see who, you know, you anticipate the, you know, the players that follow us and in every sport there. It's just, you know, it's a great honor to be a part of that.
We're chatting with former Buckeye Kathy Guerin, Tita Green here on The Fan. And Kathy, following your time here, you went on to the LPGA Tour, three-time winner there. What have you noticed to be the biggest change in the women's game the last 40 years?
Well, obviously, to everybody, I'm sure, is the international presence now. We had very few. Ayako Okamoto was kind of the big international star and from Japan, and being I probably went to Japan 10 or 11 times, and you just cannot imagine golf in Japan and how she was bigger than the prime minister.
Wow.
Truly. And I mean, buses going by with her pictures on them. But now, you know, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of the Koreans have come over, and you know, they say dominate, but I think it can be explained by, you know, Americans can be distracted, and there's a lot of other opportunities, especially for girls to play different sports. You see, you know, what women's basketball's doing now.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, more for girls to do, and golf is not, you know, maybe what it was when I grew up. It was kind of the only major sport beside tennis that you could, you know, make a living doing. And so it has changed quite a bit, and I think the level of play has gone up. I think, you know, it's the PGA Tour. I think you see the parity out there, although nobody would think that when you look at Scottie Scheffler. But, you know, there is a lot of parity. And but I understand the pressure on American girls today to excel at golf and play the LPGA Tour. And I think it's why you see somebody like Lexi Thompson retire early. I think there's just an enormous amount of pressure on American players because you do have so many foreign girls, and obviously nobody begrudges them. We
sure.
just wish there were more Americans. So,
speaking of which, Kathy, I mean, you were part of the inaugural Solheim Cup. I mean, what do you recall about that as a new event and how it's grown into what it is today? And I guess, are you surprised that the U.S. hasn't had very much success recently?
You know, I am surprised, but being a part of that first team, I don't think any of us, but from Rosie Jones to Nancy Lopez to all the players on, Dottie Pepper was actually my partner in the four ball and the foursomes, and I don't think any of us had any inkling that it would grow into what it's grown into today. And it is still Europe versus the United States. So, you know, you don't have the Asian girls playing and whatnot, but I'm surprised. I'm surprised that we aren't having, you know, more success. But, you know, again, I think there's distractions of all types, and, you know, but it's a great event. And, you know, obviously it's grown into a huge, huge thing. And, you know, I was talking to Therese Session. I had her over here for a little member guest at my club, and all these different clubs around the country, the women's, you know, they're playing their own little Solheim Cups within their 18 hole, you know, so great. It's huge. So I'm thrilled to see it, and, you know, very proud that I was a member of that first team, and wish I could have gone on and played more, but obviously, the burn incident prevented me from doing that. But, you know, just glad that I was able to play that first one, and very proud of representing, you know, the United States.
Well, Kathy, you brought up the burn, and, you know, many who know your history know that your playing career was unfortunately cut short due to that freak accident. Is it still hard for you to talk about today? And I guess after all these years to reflect, did it make you a better person in any way? I mean, not that you weren't before, but just having a different perspective on life, you know, having gone through something like that.
Well, no, to answer your question, it's not hard to talk about. You know, I don't know if you remember Dr. Bob Murphy, who was the team physician. I mean, I don't know how many coaches, but certainly through the Woody years and Earl Bruce years and whatnot. And I will never forget, Skip, I was transferred after 3 weeks. Once I got out of intensive care at Vanderbilt after 3 weeks, they flew me up to Ohio State, and which had a terrific burn unit. And that first day, Dr. Bob, which we all called him, mm-hmm. came in, and I became very close to him prior to that. And he came in and he said, Kathy, you said, I've dealt with so many athletes, and, you know, a guy is bound for, you know, first round NFL pick and blows his knee out and done. His career's over. And he said, I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell them, that you have every right to be bitter, but the sooner you can let go of that bitterness, the better off you're going to be, because it will eat you from the inside out. And I just took that, you know, to heart. And, you know, today, you know, Jim and I have been married almost 40 years, great. And I have two great sons, and, you know, I wish I could have seen how much more I might have accomplished? Absolutely. I don't think there's any question there, but at the end of the day, you know, I have my health today, and I am able to play golf again. I knew right away. When I saw my hands that first morning after the act, we all knew that it was over, that I would never have the same pair of hands. But, you know, again, I had a great support system, and Jim was awesome. And so I come from a great family and a lot of support and a lot of support from friends. And so life is good. Life is good.
Well, thanks for sharing, Kathy. Former Buckeye LPGA professional and OSU Hall of Famer Kathy Gehring. Kathy, thanks for hopping on and for the conversation, okay?
Oh, no problem. Thanks, Skip.
Always great to catch up with Kathy Gehring. All right, let's switch gears and get you caught up with this week's events as we get you warmed up with some chip shots.
97.1 The Fan's Tita Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
Sedgefield Country Club decided this week's PGA regular season finale. Weather forced the conclusion of round two this morning. Cameron Young, 63-62, minus 15 is your current leader by three. Four back is defending champion Aaron Rye, who had great vibes coming back and remembering his victory, but says the focus needs to be now.
I probably tried to soak it in a little bit more on Monday and Tuesday when I played and walked the course. Naturally, there were a couple of moments where memories from last year came back to me, which was incredible. It's nice to just let those come when they come. It's important to stay extremely focused, especially on a course like this. It presents a lot of opportunities, but it can catch you out very fast, so kind of have to be careful of drifting off too much. But it was really nice being out there and just recalling a couple of the shots from last year over the last few days.
Mac Meisner is at minus 12, 65, 63 the first 2 days and says conditions were great playing early in the day Friday.
Yeah, the north wind came in last night, so it kept the conditions a little bit cooler, which was really nice. It wasn't as humid this morning, and wind was down, and the greens were obviously in perfect shape. So it was pretty gettable out there in the morning before probably the first nine holes were very gettable, and then the wind kind of picked up in the early kind of around lunchtime. So very scoreable. Greens were soft, and there were some gettable hole locations out there.
Mark Hubbard is part of a group at minus 11, 63, 66 the first 2 days. Hubbard saying the setup was tougher Friday, but likes the way he's playing.
I just thought the pin locations were a lot more difficult today, both to get to and to putt to, so I think that was the biggest difference. I felt like I played pretty good the entire season. I just don't feel like I've gotten a ton out of my game as much as I'd like. I will say I feel like I've putted better the second half, so that usually helps with your scoring, so I would attribute it to that. But yes, yeah, it's kind of been a weird year. I feel like my game's been good, but I just haven't gotten a lot out of it.
Again, all chasing Cameron Young at 15 under par. Elsewhere this week, Korn Ferry Tour is in Utah. Taylor Montgomery, minus 14. He leads by two. Former Buckeye Bo Hogue, minus 5 to make the cut. PGA Tour Americas in Toronto. Yo Chow, minus 16, leads by two. Former Buckeye Maxwell Maldivahn, plus 2 to miss the weekend. LPGA Women's Open is this week in Wales. Mayu Yamashita, minus 11, leads there by 3. World and Champions Tours are both off this week. Your leaderboards were brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit them today at BMIFCU.org. Coming up is the new PGA Tour Enterprises CEO, Brian Rolapp, more of a wine and cheese or maybe a cold beer and chicken wings type of guy? We will discuss that and much more with SI.com's Gary Van Sickle next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thanks for tuning in. We have another great golf prize package to give away this week. We have golf to go play out at the Virtues, a gift card to check out the Fairway Columbus on Henderson Road in Upper Arlington. Pretty neat place there. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Fan goodies we'll throw in there for you this week as well, so stay tuned. Details on this week's giveaway shortly and your chance to make this great golf package yours.
This is Backspin. Tee to Green. Backspin.
Joined for a few minutes now by a longtime golf writer, now with SI.com, Gary Van Sickle. And Gary, good morning. This is always an odd week, you know, final regular season PGA Tour event in Greensboro. Are you a fan, I guess, of the tourney within the tourney this week at the Wyndham, with players jostling for position to get into the playoffs?
I'd like to say yes, but as a fan, unless there's one of my favorite players involved, probably not. But look, the PGA Tour would love to have every tournament be a big deal, a major, and something significant. Everything should be an elevated event. You can't do that. You right. Got to have the backbone of the PGA Tour has been all the mom and pop events, and I'm using that term loosely. The smaller events, they're the backbone of the tour. That's where all these guys get to play and establish themselves, whether it's the John Deere Classic or the Rocket Mortgage or the Wyndham Championship. This one just happens to fall the last week before the playoffs, where these guys are, you know, the guy who doesn't make the playoffs, guess what? He probably still won $1.2 million this year. So it's not like it's do or die. The do or die thing is the guys trying to keep their card. top 100. You know, that's a more interesting story.
Yeah, well, Gary, speaking of the playoffs, I mean, after all these years, I mean, these guys make so much money anyways. Do these playoffs really excite anyone besides the sponsors and television partners?
I have never heard anyone in my life discuss the FedEx Cup points. Or, you know, and they're not playoffs. Because if they were real playoffs, somebody would be eliminated.
Sure.
You know, you look at baseball. How many times maybe have the Yankees had a really good team and then they lose in the ALCS or the division series? The best teams get knocked out of the playoffs all the time, but in golf, the sponsors don't want to go back to the old match play championship. They changed that when it was great. It was, you know, you lose, you're out. Well, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson kept getting knocked out in like the second round, and they hated that. Hmm. So if these were really playoffs, good players would be getting knocked out, and that doesn't happen. So these are just highlighted events. I don't like that it's only 70 guys in the first round and then 50 guys and then 30. I think, you know, a tournament's always more exciting when there's 120 or 140 guys because, look, there's Jake Knapp. All these guys rise up, and all these guys are capable of winning. I think that's what makes the tournament more exciting than only 30 or 50 guys playing.
Well, Gary, Brian Rolapp officially started this past week as CEO of PGA Tour Enterprises. What do you think the number one thing on his agenda should be?
That's an excellent question, Skip. The obvious answer would be to get some kind of resolution to the LIV PGA Tour issue, but I don't think there can be one because the tour wants LIV to go away. And it's kind of hard to get past that. I think his number one issue should be player opportunities. And, you know, look, the tour's got to find sponsors for not only all the events on the PGA Tour, all the events on the Korn Ferry Tour, all the events on the America's Tour, all the events on the PGA Tour Champions. They do a phenomenal job of finding sponsors. You know, what is that? That's probably 120 sponsors. It's incredible to keep this empire going, and they do a great job at it. And I think that probably is the main priority. And there's a TV deal that's got to be renewed coming up, so that's going to be a big one too. He's got a lot of stuff happening that's more financial and, you know, away from the public. So he's going to be a busy guy for the next 2 years.
You know, Gary, I was curious to get your perspective on Rolapp in general and just his appearance. I mean, I don't mean this to be disrespectful in any way, but, you know, after all these years of Monahan, Fincham, even Beeman before that, you know, just the air about them, you know, buttoned up, maybe coming across as a bit stuffy. I mean, heck, Rolapp was pictured on Tuesday, a black golf shirt and brown belt, you know, kind of like a guy that, you know, would belly up to the bar with you and I to grab a cold beer and some chicken wings. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but am I out of line with that more of a regular guy observation?
He seems more like a normal guy. I mean, look, Dean Beeman was intimidating and played hardball. He was hard to have a conversation with. It was awkward. Tim Fincham was a lawyer. It was, you know, you're always sweating bullets trying to have a conversation with him. Jay Monahan was a more, you know, regular guy, a more, I don't want to say salesman, but he was, you could talk to Jay Monahan. He was fun to talk to, but yeah, he always dressed like, you know, he was a suit and
sure,
that was his job. So yeah, Rolapp seems like he just came out of Buffalo Wild Wings and let's go watch some more. You know, he came from the football world.
Right.
So he might bring a different perspective, but I'm sure he's immensely qualified for this job because he didn't get there by accident.
No, I agree.
I don't know if you can read anything into that, but it doesn't hurt. I mean, did he make a cameo in Happy Gilmore too? That would have been a good move too.
No doubt. We're chatting with Gary Van Sickle, SI.com this morning, Tee to Green here on the Fan. Gary back on the golf course with the way Scottie Scheffler cruised to the Open Championship a couple of weeks ago. You know, people started talking immediately, you know, about the career Grand Slam, how many more majors, etc. We've heard this before, even earlier this year after Rory won the Masters. Should we pump the brakes a little on Scotty, even though he's shown us all that he can do?
I think you should, just because a guy has won four. I mean, look at Brooks Koepka. He was on a roll, and it's easy to get derailed in golf, no matter how good you are. You can get complacent, I don't think Scotty cares about the money at all. All this money he's already won, he's never going to spend it. It's just play money. He doesn't care about it. But you can get complacent. It doesn't take much, you know, especially when you start having a family. You devote a little more time to your family, a little less golf, and it doesn't take much to go from number one in the world to, say, number 7 or 12, and that's a difference maker, and that's kind of what happened to Rory. I think he took his eye off the ball a little bit because he wanted to live a real life, but everybody is always one injury away from not being a good player or being as good. Look at Jordan Spieth. You know, he hurts his wrist, and he's still trying to figure it out now after a couple of years. So, yeah, you can say when a guy wins, he plays his best golf, and he looks unbeatable, and that's true for everybody, but nobody plays their best golf every single week. That's what's really annoying about golf if you're a golfer. You're always evolving, changing, working on something, and it doesn't always work. So the only guys who've really overcome that are really Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods, and they both had episodes where they had slumps. So Scotty's on a high. I wouldn't bet against him right now, but you should definitely be realistic about how much he can win. He's not in range. He's not threatening Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors in the near future. Let's check back in 5 years.
Gary, television news this week. CBS's Ian Baker Finch announced that he's stepping away from the broadcast booth. He's one of those guys that people like or they don't. I mean, the most common criticism, you know, is first names only, which I hate in all broadcasts. But, you know, just your thoughts on what he was able to do as a broadcaster, you know, following a playing career that ended really quickly.
You know, I was thinking about what makes a good golf broadcaster. And if you sit there and listen to the things they say, it's not like full of insight most of the time. It's like, oh, that's going to be a tough putt. You know, I think what you want is somebody who has a pleasant sounding voice or an authoritative sounding voice and who knows golf. And Ian Baker Finch, he's a super nice guy. He's got a delightful voice, made for radio or TV. And yeah, he is get chummy and, you know, that's just him. So he's not a Johnny Miller type. I don't think he was ever going to be critical of anyone, but you know, I don't know if that's what TV wants in the first place. So I think he was a very pleasant presence in the broadcast tower all these years. And when I read in the release that he's been doing TV of some sort for 30 years, yeah. I thought 30 years. That's the fastest 30 years I can remember. Wait a minute, 30 years? That means I'm really old. How did this happen, Skip?
Well, we're all in the same boat. SI.com's Gary Van Sickle. Gary, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on. Safe travels, okay?
All right, thanks, Skip.
All right, let's go ahead and give away this week's golf prize package. If you or any member of your household have not won in the past 60 days, caller 9 right now, 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. Caller 9 will get you golf at the Virtues, balls from Titleist, a gift card to the Fairways Columbus, and some fan goodies. Caller 9, if you or any member of your household have not won in the past 60 days. Coming up, the U.S. Senior Open will be here in Columbus next year at Scioto Country Club. We will chat with PGA professional and director of golf at Scioto, Joe Filardo, about that next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Miss it, Noonan. Miss it. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. Congratulations to Pete up in Powell. Pete was caller 9, picks up golf at the Virtues, balls from Titleist, a gift card to the Fairway Columbus, and some fan goodies. We'll have another prize package for you coming up next week. All right, favorite part of the show, let's hit the range.
You are listening to Tee to Green's On the Range.
On the Range is brought to you by the Fairway Columbus. Check them out on Henderson Road in Upper Arlington. New location opening soon in Lewis Center. As we hit the range at Scioto Country Club this morning, PGA professional Joe Filardo, director of golf at Scioto, kind enough to give us a couple of minutes. And Joe, I definitely wanted to touch base with you before the summer got away from us. If folks are paying attention, promos are already up and running as Scioto will host the U.S. Senior Open next summer. First of all, I guess, how excited is everybody at the club for this?
Well, you know, Skip, this year is pretty special for us. The last time we hosted the championship in 2016, it was on the golf course before the renovation done by Andrew Green. Well, really, it's a restoration. Andrew, golf course architect, has taken the golf course back to its Ross-like intent, the way it was designed 109 years ago. So it's back to the days of what it would have looked like, or close to it, when we hosted the 1926 U.S. Open and the 1931 Ryder Cup. So it'll be exciting to see what all these guys can do on this new golf course.
Visually, Joe, I mean, what will most of us notice, I guess, if we've not been out there before the restoration occurred?
Yeah, we're going to notice some wider driving corridors, some bunkering that looks a lot more like what Ross would have built back in the day. But the big thing I think people will notice is the green complexes have gotten lower, more down to grade. You'll be able to do some cool shots. You'll see some cool shots coming into the greens and players using the ground more, trying to get to the right spot on the greens, bigger greens, a lot more undulation. Putting becomes much more of a premium. And some of those green side shots are going to be really interesting to watch how these players navigate.
You know, I'm curious about what some of the comments are that your members have made since the restoration.
Fun. We hear the word fun all of the time. You don't have to hoist a ball up high in the air to be successful out here anymore. You can do just about anything you want with that shot coming into the green. So players of all abilities have a lot of fun on this golf course.
Well, Joe, one interesting side note to next year is a certain someone who's going to turn 50 prior to that. He'll be eligible to play should he choose to. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Tiger Woods will be turning 50 at the end of this year. So certainly a lot of chatter about him. We would be over the moon if he were to decide to register. I think registration happens, the deadline's at somewhere in the month of March. So another cool thing about Tiger is, you know, he's always thinking about the history and the legacy he's going to leave behind. And with the USGA, he has an opportunity here if he were healthy enough to play and he chooses to play and is somehow in contention. He is tied with Bobby Jones at 9 total USGA championships. They're at number one. And if he were to somehow win the U.S. Senior Open, that would put him in the lead outright at 10 USGA championships. And additionally, if he were to win somehow, he would also be the only person ever to win the U.S. Junior Am, the U.S. Am, wow, the U.S. Open, and now the U.S. Senior Open. The only person ever. So he's got a lot to look forward to, and I think his desires are high. We'll have a better idea as we turn into the springtime, but man, having a name like Tiger Woods on our leaderboard or even on our tee sheet would certainly drive a lot of people out here to come see Scioto Country Club for the U.S. Senior Open.
Well, Joe, the other thing, I hate to assume, and I know it's probably somewhat of a guarded secret, but you know, has Tiger ever played there before during his many times here to Columbus, you know, especially with his studying of Jack Nicklaus through the years? You would guess the answer is probably?
You would think so, but he has not, believe it or not. He has not been to Scioto Country Club, so this would be the first time he sets foot on the grounds here.
PGA professional Joe Filardo, director of golf at Scioto Country Club, our guest this morning, Tee to Green here on The Fan. You know, and Joe, such great history there at Scioto. Besides where Jack Nicklaus learned to play, has hosted the U.S. Open, PGA Championship, Ryder Cup, USAM, now the U.S. Senior Open for the third time. I don't know that I'm still going to be hosting this show 10 years from now, but Scioto will also be hosting another USAM in 36. I mean, tell us about what must be a really good relationship with the USGA.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time with the USGA. They're great partners. They certainly keep an eye on what we're doing over here, especially since the restoration. They're just so excited to see what this club is and where it's going and what it's become. And so we spend a lot of time with the USGA folks. We're great friends, and they do such a great job, and they care so much about the tradition and history legacy that's here at Scioto. So we look forward to continued partnership. Hard to believe 11 years from now we'll be hosting another U.S. Amateur Championship. So a lot to look forward to at the club, and we couldn't be more proud and more excited.
Scioto, Joe, you know this, has historically been a really tough test. I want to say 3 under was the winning score in 16 by Gene Sowers, -5 and 86 by Dale Douglas. I mean, recently had double digits under par for the Senior Open. I know the USGA sets things up, but I guess how much of a testament is it that a great old golf course like Scioto can really stand the test of time?
Gosh, that's such a good point. Great memory too, Skip. You know, we had the Big Ten Championship for the men out here last year. Mm-hmm. And just caught a couple great weeks in April where it really firmed up and the golf course really showed its teeth. So with these new green complexes and the firmness that we're able to produce out here, our grounds crew led by Bob Becker does a wonderful job of maintaining those bouncy conditions whenever Mother Nature allows. So the winning score for the Big Ten was over par,
you know,
3 days for some of these strong young men. So it should prove to be a good test should we be delivered a good week of weather.
You mentioned Bob. He does such a great job out there. This has been such a tough summer. What's his mood been like with the rain and the heat?
You know, we've been dealt a tough hand of cards this year. No doubt everybody's feeling it right now, certainly in the Midwest. But, yeah, humidity and high heat is no good for trying to maintain, quality turf conditions. But he continues to do just a stupendous job out here. And we are just so fortunate to have him and him leading us in through this golf course. So,
well, Joe, last thing, as someone who really appreciates the history of the game, I mean, when I get the rare opportunity to visit Scioto, at least for me, you know, I feel something, you know, just walking on the range or, you know, in the clubhouse or locker room. You're there every day. What feelings do you get when you go to work?
I have the best office in America. I say it every day. Walking out on that back patio, looking out over the golf course is unbelievable. Taking paperwork up to accounting, but being able to walk through History Hall along the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes I really have to pinch myself. You get goosebumps from time to time just knowing what's happened here before. And it's one of those things where you know what Scioto is from the outside looking in, but you don't really know and feel what it's like until you're inside the walls. And it's just such an honor to be a golf professional here. I'm number 12 ever, so really just an honor.
Again, Scioto Country Club will host next year's U.S. Senior Open, 4th of July weekend next year. Ticket packages, heck, are already on sale. PGA professional Joe Filardo, director of golf there at Scioto. Joe, as always, thanks for your time. You know we'll be in touch a bunch next spring leading up to the event, okay?
Thank you, Skip. You're the best. I really appreciate your time.
All right, coming up, we've seen a number of high-profile player caddy splits this season. One of those players is Joel Damon, who will talk about how difficult of a move that was for him. We will hear from Damon next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
We're the highest-rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. He may be short off the tee, but he can sure use his putter. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
And welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's show, we had a nice conversation with former Buckeye OSU Hall of Famer Kathy Gehring earlier. Also, SI.com's Gary Van Sickle. Simply download the Tee to Green podcast. Just search Tee to Green wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to hit subscribe. Well, this season, there have been a number of high-profile PGA Tour caddy splits. One of the more surprising ones was Joel Damon, who recently cut ties with Gino Benali, not only his best friend, but somebody who's caddied for him for more than a decade, going back to their Korn Ferry Tour days. Damon, who's playing well this weekend on the difficulty of making the change.
Man, I love Gino. We still text almost daily. He's doing well. I miss him. But sometimes you have to do something hard to look. I mean, it wasn't an easy decision. I didn't say I'm not happy about it, but like it's hard. I mean, he's my best friend. He's still my best friend. But I had to change something with me. It was more about me. It was my mentality. It was what I was doing, and I needed to take ownership of what I was doing. I was not doing a good job of that. So for a way for me to do it, as simple as just playing golf on my own a little bit. I love him. I miss him. I think we'll see him out here again soon.
Joel Damon again playing well this week. He's at minus 12, three back of your leader, Cameron Young, who's your leader right now after two rounds of this week's Wyndham Classic there in Greensboro as players jockeying for position to get into the playoffs, which begin coming up next week. Again, Mac Meisner, Sungjae Im, and Joel Damon all tied at minus 12, three back of your leader, Cameron Young. That'll put a wrap on this week's show. Fan Sports Saturday with Reeser and Dane is next from OSU training camp. Buckeye replay at 1 as Ohio State begins its run from last year's CFP against Tennessee. Reds, Braves from Bristol later this evening. Enjoy the golf this weekend. Coverage on our sister station, 10TV, will begin at 3 p.m. For Adam Latek, I'm Skip Mossick. Timmy Hall's in for me next week. As always, thank you for listening. Join Timmy next week for another edition of Tee to Green right here on The Fan.
You know I'll be in church next Sunday to save me from those double bogey blues.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan. Sports Center.
And I'm Nate Puderball. It's day three of camp for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and the pads are being put on. Catch live coverage on Fan Sports Saturday all morning long. The Cleveland Guardians were in action last night, taking on the depleted Minnesota Twins. They pulled off the 3-2 victory in extra innings on the back of Kyle Manzardo's RBI in the 10th. They'll square off this evening at 4:10. Tanner Bibee squaring off against Bailey Over. The Reds knocked off the Braves in a matinee yesterday, 3-2. Tonight, they're down at Bristol Motor Speedway at the MLB Speedway Classic. First pitch is 7:10. Chase Burns of the Reds taking on Spencer Strider. Catch the action right here on The Fan. Columbus Crew SC picked up a win in the group stage of the League's Cup last night, knocking off Puebla 3-1. And in the NFL, the Hamilton County Board of Commissioners voted to approve a new lease agreement with the Bengals, keeping them in Cincinnati through 2036. Bringing sports news when it happens on The Fan.